Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Happy Easter, and how sweet it is! The Brewers out to a 3-0 start this season. So they beat the Mets today by a 4-1 final. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. I mean, you can't really draw it up much better than that. The Brewers trailed for only an inning and a half all weekend. Just Friday, after the Starling Marte home run off of Freddie Peralta, little did the Mets know that would be their only hit of that game. The Brewers would respond in the fourth to tie it up, take the lead in the fifth, and never look back. They did not trail the rest of the weekend. Today, it was a little bit of everything from everybody. No big home runs today, but William Contreras, 2-for-5 with a pair of doubles, a run scored, and a run batted in. Christian Yelich reached base 3 times, stole 2 bases, and scored a run. Bryce Terang scored 2 runs and stole another base. More on him later. Churio had a multi-hit game, including his first extra base hit with an RBI double in the second inning. And I haven't even mentioned the pitching yet to this point. Colin Ray, he earns the win. 5 innings, 5 hits, just 1 run allowed. Brian Hudson really might be the story, though, of the pitching today. Hudson with 3 shutout innings in his Brewers debut. The big, tall lefty had a great first impression. And then finally, Yoel Piamps had the assignment in the 9th inning. There was some talk about maybe it would be Abner Uribe, given Pat Murphy declared before today's game that Abner was available if needed to pitch in 3 consecutive games. The Brewers chose not to need him today and went with Yoel, who did not pitch yesterday, but he did pitch on Friday. If you want to join the program, it is 855-616-1620. Once again, that is 855-616-1620 to join us right here on WTMJ. You can also join us on YouTube in the live chat there. If you go to the 620 WTMJ YouTube page, you'll see the live stream there as well. WTMJ app. Plenty of ways for you to interact with the show all season long. And Craig Kishon will be joining us in just a moment once his television duties are all finished up. So while we wait on Craig, let me get you the 3 biggest plays from this game and what to get you up to speed real quick on this absolutely fantastic Easter Sunday victory. First and foremost, Jackson Churio, just mentioned it a moment ago. Brewers already up 1-0 at this point, but 2-out runs were certainly a theme in today's game. In the second inning, a rally formed with a Bryce Terang single with 2 outs. Then Jackson Churio at the plate at the bottom of the order for a reason.
Here's the 2-1 to Churio. Hit in the air, deep right field. Marte going back onto the warning track. It is off the base of the wall. Terang around third. He will score. It's an RBI double for Jackson Churio, and the Brewers lead it 2-0.
That was the first biggest play to remember. That was a rocket off the bat the other way. It carried as well, and it made it 2-0 at the time. Fast forward to the 4th inning. A 2-out rally forming for the Mets now against Colin Ray. Ray got the first 2 outs of that inning on just 4 pitches. He was extremely economical. And if it wasn't for the 4th inning, I imagine he would have gone 6 and maybe even into the 7th inning today. But he ended up throwing 30 pitches in the 4th inning, really in large part due to a 12-pitch battle with Tyrone Taylor that ended in a walk. And that walk actually loaded the bases with 2 outs, and he fell behind 2-0 on old friend Omar Narvaez.
Omar waits from the left. Ray throws 2-0, swinging a high fly ball deep into right field. Will it stay in the yard? It will. Churio's back on the warning track with a play, and he makes the catch.
At that point, it was still a 1-run game, 2-1, so the fact that they were able to escape unscathed kept the Brewers in front. The Brewers also missed an opportunity with the bases loaded earlier in the contest when Rhys Hoskins grounded into a 1-2-3 double play. That was to end the 3rd, but the Brewers escape in the 4th. Now we fast forward to Brian Hudson's day, and at this point, the Brewers have added a little bit of insurance. They're leading 4-1. But Brian Hudson heads back out there for the 8th inning, which was his 3rd inning of relief. He gets the first 2 outs quickly with Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil. Starling Marte, though, lined a double in the left center field, trying not to go away quietly. Pat Murphy had a decision to make. His bullpen was up and moving. Do you want to go to somebody here with Francisco Alvarez, who arguably had the best weekend of any Met, or does he want to stick with Hudson? Even though it's the mismatch in the platoon, Hudson has been really deceptive against righties given his extension and his 6'8" frame. He decides to roll the dice with Alvarez and a man on second base, and maybe this would have been his final batter. It turned out to be, and he ended it in style.
Looking for three scoreless out of him here this afternoon. 1-2. And got him looking! Slider, back door, Alvarez disagrees. Hudson, magnificent out of the pen here this afternoon.
He was my player of the game. I've got a player of the game poll up on my Twitter. Would love to hear from you as well. 855-616-1620. Who's your player of the game today? What are you most excited about from this three-game sweep? There's about 20 minutes left or so on that poll on my Twitter at Dom_Catronio. Yeah, it's Hudson running away with it right now. He's got 66% of the vote, over 100 votes in right now. Brian Hudson, he gets a long hold for this one. No win, no save. He gets a hold. Three shutout innings for him today. Fantastic stuff for who's my pick for the player of the game. We're just getting started. This is show number two of the season. This is Brewers Extra Innings. It's all brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's going to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We'll get into some box score thoughts here, some other highlights from this one, read some texts that have rolled in here as well. Craig Kishon in just a little bit, too. Brewers win 4-1 today. They sweep the opening weekend against the Mets, and they're coming back home on Tuesday to host the Minnesota Twins. Take our first break of the evening. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the victory. A 4-1 final today. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Brewers Extra Innings. We're going to the top of the hour on this Easter Sunday all the way till 5. We will also have a show on Tuesday. And here on WTMJ, your home for the Brewers, we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage on Tuesday from American Family Field as the Brewers get ready to host the Twins for a border battle home opener Tuesday and Wednesday. So we'll have a post-game show on Tuesday. No show on Wednesday, another off day on Thursday. So a little stop and start here. Off day tomorrow, lots of programming on Tuesday. Day game Wednesday, so no post-game show. Thursday, off day, and then the weekend with the Seattle Mariners. Let's get to a few texts here. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Get to a few of these here. The pitching in this series is an obvious storyline, but the relentless pressure the offense put on the Mets pitchers was nothing short of impressive. The way the lineup reached base, took second, then scored with timely hitting was excellent as well. It is good to be back. Josh here in Milwaukee. Appreciate the text, Josh. I agree. Look at the first two innings today. A perfect case of what you're talking about. And yes, Sal was picked off in the first inning, but clearly Tylor Megill had his mind racing whenever there was a Brewer player on base because the Brewers stole three bags against him. Yelly stole second base after he reached on a catcher's interference, by the way, then scored three pitches later on a Willy Adames, or rather on the next pitch, I should say, on a Willy Adames single through the left side. So that made it 1-0 with a two-out stolen base and run scored. Same exact thing happened in the second inning when Bryce Terang reached on a two-out single, stole second base. Two pitches later, Churio hits an RBI double to score Bryce. The Brewers stole three bases today, and they're a perfect 8-for-8 to start the season. Pat Murphy wasn't lying. He warned us in spring training, this team's going to run. Nobody attempted more stolen bases in spring training than the Milwaukee Brewers. And they're already 8-for-8, tied for the Major League lead at this point in the season. They are going to be playing an exciting, fast, fun brand of baseball this year. We'll get into that with Craig Kishon in just a little bit. If the pitching holds up like this, the division will be won easily. They just keep finding these arms, and this speed is dominant. This one is from Doug. Appreciate the text, Doug. And then this is a strange question about Christian Yelich having eye surgery. No, he's just back to old Yelly. He's seeing the ball so much better. He's playing like Christian Yelich once again, and I've always said, look, Miami Yelich is not a bad Yelich. And maybe it won't be, you know, MVP Yelich anytime soon. But hey, this is still a very, very valuable version of Christian Yelich. Let me go down the box score here as Craig Kishon's throwing on a headset here in just a moment. Going down the box score now here for the Brewers. Like we said earlier, William Contreras went 2 for 5, a pair of doubles, his first extra base hits of the game. Willy Adames reached base 4 times today, also had a pair of walks and an RBI. Bryce Tarang, 2 for 4, 2 runs scored along with that stolen base. Also, flawless defense from him. And Yoel Piamps gets the save as he gets his 4th. Big league save of his career. Right now, pleased to be welcomed, bring in Craig Kishon once again after his television duties are all finished. You may be watching us on YouTube, or you can listen to us right here on WTMJ. I think for me, the speed is the biggest takeaway for me before we get into the pitching and how great Brian Hudson was. The fact that they were able to manufacture 2 runs out of nothing in the first 2 innings really set the tone for this game.
You know, it's amazing to me these first 3 games, Dom, how many headlines or storylines, I guess you could craft for this team, how many really good things there is to talk about. And it's not just, you know, the offense and the pitching, you know, and the defense. There's a lot of layers to it, which is pretty cool here right now. But the base stealing, you know, we obviously got a really good glimpse of that last year when these young guys were promoted for the first time, because speed kills, and maybe veteran young speed kills even more, because from what we've seen so far, if this is any indication, it's find a way to get on base. And then after that, even with 2 outs, you never know what's going to happen. And we saw, I think, all 4 runs today were scored with 2 outs as well. And a lot of that had to do with, you know, base stealing pressure, you know, in those, especially in those early innings.
In perfect 8 for 8, just mentioned that a moment ago, that the Brewers also very quietly, you know, this weekend, they hit 303 as a team this weekend. Another 9 hits today, so that brings to what, the 25 hits over 3 games. Not only are they stealing and being dynamic, they're getting on base. Right. You can't steal first. And top to bottom, everyone's doing something a little bit different every day.
Yeah, I think, you know, so far, to me, offensively, maybe one of the differences versus a year ago, they're hitting their way on versus in the past, they have found a way to draw a walk and then try to do some damage after that. They're more than capable of hitting their way on right now, and obviously after that, hitting for some power as well. We haven't seen a lot of that just yet, but we're only 3 games in, and weather conditions maybe you know, weren't great for that, but you know, finding a way to get on and the base hits, I'm really, really looking forward to see where this offense picks up, especially at home. Everything closed up the next couple of games, actually, for the homestand. They're home through next Sunday, so once they get here on Tuesday.
It's going to be a little nippy back here, but at least we'll have
turn the heat on, Rick.
At least we'll have 45,000 of our closest friends all packed in there at American Family Field this week as the Twins and the Mariners come to town. I'm just looking at the weekend of the guys that had a good weekend and played in all the games and all this stuff. You know, William Contreras, great start, 5 for 13, a pair of doubles today. Yelly, we've talked about him yesterday. Very quietly, this is a guy that I picked as maybe the most important sophomore for the Brewers. Bryce Tarang is 5 for 11 with 4 stolen bases this season. And Bryce, look, if he hits 5 home runs, cool. That's more than I'm expecting out of him. If Bryce is going to be on base at, let's bring him down to earth a little bit here. If Bryce is on base at over a 300, 330 clip, he's going to steal 40 bags because clearly there's an emphasis on him taking a base anytime he can get it.
And he's capable of doing that, and that would be about 100 points higher than what he had last year. Mm-hmm. And last year, you know, he caused some damage. It sure took him a while to get going. We understand that. But and how about some of the defensive plays he continues to make, too? To me, look, he needs to hit to stay on the field. I get that in the grand scheme of things, but if he's hitting fine, just having that glove out there is just another dynamic of what your ticket is worth when you buy your way into a ballpark here right now.
He's been great defensively. We knew that coming into the year once again. In fact, on my player of the game poll, somebody had responded that for the write-in category that the player of the game should be the Brewers defense, because once again, we saw some dazzling plays. There were a few plays that Bryce made today that, you know, you and I watching the game together and Vinny Rattino in here as well watching the game together, we all audibly looked at each other like, look, that's not a highlight. That's not a SportsCenter top 10 play. But anybody who's played the game knows that was an extremely difficult play, and he's making them look routine. It hasn't lost a step year over year for Bryce Turang.
Well, for some defenders we've seen out there in the past in the Brewer uniform, that's a 50-50 chance, right? When you increase it to 100%, you're going to get an out. I mean, this is why this team's 3-0.
It's a massive piece of why they're playing a fun brand of baseball. They're not going to let anything get by them on defense, and they're also going to try to push the envelope on offense, steal some bags, and get things going. We'll take a breather, come back with more, get to some of these texts here as well, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. We'll also talk a little pitching because we got to talk about Colin Ring, what Brian Hudson did, and maybe Pat Murphy bluffing a little bit earlier today with the Abner Uribe news. We'll talk all about that coming up next right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. The mayor of Long Island bringing us back. I saw a few of Brewer staffers went to the 100th sold-out show because opening night was rained out on Thursday night. Oh, Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden.
Imagine that.
That's a fun show. That's awesome.
Can I go?
I want to go.
Can I sign up for that?
I want to go next year. All right. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. Welcome back here on Brewers Extra Innings. Brewers win 4-1. They sweep the opening weekend. Let me get to a few of these texts, 855-616-1620. Let's get a home win on Tuesday. That one from Aaron in Illinois. Absolutely agree with that. Would be a whole lot of fun. Something seems refreshing about this squad and this start. It's a long season, but momentum builder into the home opener. Go Brewers. And this one, happy Easter, Dom. 3 victories before April. Who would have thought? Brewers really aggressive on the base pass with 8 steals. Is that a trait of Murphy? Because I like it. Turang's playing great so far. What about Jefferson Caro's projection for 2024? Well, we're waiting on his injury news with Jefferson Caro due for an MRI tomorrow. I imagine we'll learn more. He injured his shoulder on opening day for AAA the other night, diving back in to first base. And finally, Leaf and Johnson Creek. What an awesome first weekend of baseball. Can't wait for the home opener. Really, really fun stuff. All right, so Craig, I wanted to get into the pitching here because Colin Ray, yeah, he had that 30-pitch inning in the fourth, but aside from that, I struggle to find a blemish. It's Colin Ray. It's going to be flat line. It's going to be, you know, maybe unremarkable on the stat line, but you look up and you're like, oh, wait, what the heck? They've only allowed one run in 5 innings. This is the Colin Ray that Brewers fans are going to have to start to get to know a little bit better and take a little bit more seriously as a very important piece of this rotation.
Yeah, no blemish. I think what you really have to do is just reverse that and just give him a lot of credit for gutting his way through trying to get that last out in the fourth inning with the bases loaded. I mean, man alive, 26 pitches to get that final out. We saw Tyler McGill have a 30-pitch inning and not give up a run. Same for Colin Ray in that game. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing that before, but that's what you love about baseball. But, no, Ray's solid. And here's the other thing. After that, I'm thinking early season after that fourth inning, he's probably done. I mean, the guy just seemed gassed at the time, but Mr. Calm Demeanor probably just went in the dugout and took one deep breath and said, I'm good. And he came out and had a nice fifth inning and he picks up the win. That's just what he did last year. Team was 14-8 in his 22 starts. And then they say, go back to the minors. Great start. Go back to the minors. He was up and down 5 times. That's crazy what this guy, you know, held through. And then I'm glad he got the reward this year to say, you know, we need you again, and we're going to need you every 5 days now.
And talking to him a bit in spring training, you know, not necessarily about, you know, his stuff or what he's working on, just the comfort of what he's been through the last few years between coming out of COVID and then briefly with the Brewers in 21 and then going overseas, but that didn't work out, so he had to come back. Family's all over the place. There's a lot of off-the-field stress on Ray, and like, all right, am I going to get back to the big leagues? What's going to happen here? And for the Brewers to say, Colin, you're going to be our first transaction of the 2024 season, they signed him instantly. Instantly.
Yep, they really did.
And right said, away. We take you seriously. You're a big league pitcher. We believe in that. And I can't wait to see him reward them for that loyalty, because I said this in spring training and people kind of called me out for it, not believing it. I'm not saying, oh my gosh, take this to the bank after one start, because there's going to be bumps in the road. But Colin Ray's not going to be normally a five and dive. Now, this is the first start of the year, 84 pitches, no need to push it, especially after that 30-pitch inning. He's going to be deeper than that. He's going to get opportunities to face a third time through the order, a sixth, a seventh inning, trying to be deep, because we know this bullpen is going to be so in flux this year. Be ready for a lot of Colin Ray this year, and just that calm, no emotion Iowa kid that's ready to play ball every single time he's asked.
I mean, you could say he's a flatliner, but I'm telling you what, their pulse registers every now and again, and that's just when he's ready to compete. And I think that's what you got to give him a lot of credit for, the whole road that you just explained on why a guy like this would just want to keep going when maybe he doesn't have that superstar flash, doesn't have, you know, that one pitch that, you know, will get him places if he can just get it. He just needs to continue to compete and do what he can and be himself. And I think that's been the most important thing for him. And just to be able to have it work out a year ago and then get the reward this year is pretty cool to see. Those are great stories in baseball for a guy that's been around a long time.
Speaking of a great story, sneaky one that will develop throughout the year is Brian Hudson. You know, makes his Brewers debut mm-hmm. today. Made his big league debut last year with the Dodgers. Comes in, slams the door, three strong innings. He earns the hold, leaves a man stranded in the eighth inning. But what I see with Brian Hudson is an opportunity, because remember, Hudson was traded by the Dodgers to the Brewers because of a 40-man roster crunch when they signed Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So because they went and spent all the money on Yamamoto, it created an opportunity for Hudson to become expendable and available, that he was the 41st guy on their depth chart. And they said, you know what, Brewers, let's make a deal. And the Brewers like, yes, we'll take him. And here's your first impression, three strong innings, four strikeouts, including the clutch one to Francisco Alvarez to close out his outing. This, I'm very impressed with what we saw today.
Well, you figure this guy was drafted, what, 9 years ago, 10 years ago in 2015, and he's what, made his major league debut only last year. And so this is another one of those potentially great storylines for, you know, just the Brewers organization, how they pay attention to pitching, who fits into their system. And it looks so far like this guy fits very nicely into this system, because they went out and made sure they had a chance to go get him and did. And it's going to be fun to watch him continue to develop. He obviously had a good spring training, made this club, you know, right out of the gates and whatnot. But I was just really impressed, because I did not see him more than once, maybe on TV in one of the few games during spring training. So impressive body, impressive pitching. He's a competitor out there. You can just tell.
He'll be 27 in about a month's time, a little over a month, from Southern Illinois. Played high school basketball against Jason Tatum down there, you know, St. Louis, Southern Illinois area, Missouri area.
Bet you dunked on him a few times at 6'8".
I hope so, man. There's got to be a story in there somewhere for sure. I know Todd Rosiak was getting to the bottom of it during spring training. I wanted to get your take on the fact that Abner Uribe, according to Pat Murphy, would have been available today. Now, they didn't. They went with Yoel Piamps, who Yoel only pitched on Friday. It made sense to go to Yoel as opposed to Abner. No need to blow out the bullpen three games into the season. Do you read into that at all? Do you think there's anything there, that Abner being available for a third day, is it Pat Murphy bluffing, or is there something there of Abner Uribe wanting to take this interim closer role from Devin Williams for now?
Well, I kind of look at that by saying, well, if the game goes to the 12th inning or 13th inning and we need to use him, then he actually was available, so we could use him. But I still think it's too early to say he's your guy every single ninth inning and we're going to save him for the ninth inning. And then, to me, I think they're just this stretch to begin the season, they should allow guys like Piamps to come in and close games because he's capable of doing it. Trevor McGill, come in and close games because he's capable of doing it. See what you get full circle. I mean, this is the time to figure that out. I've loved what I've seen out of Uribe. I mean, look, when he puts the pistol in the holster and silences the Mets, just looks right in their dugout like he did on Saturday, that is complete closer mentality, and he has obviously all the physical skills to get that job done.
It's pitching and defense. I saw in the YouTube chat, it's the same thing as last year. Just pitching and defense is what this team is built on and why they are so talented. Let me get to a couple more texts here. Kyle from Mequon. This team doesn't have a lot of huge names. What we appear to have is speed, solid pitching, solid defense, and a hard-nosed, scrappy style on offense. Guys that play the roles and stay within themselves, and this team will be competitive. Exciting to watch. This one, Dom, I really like the offense and defense. I think we need an arm or two. I don't think this is sustainable. Hey, it's three games in. I'm not going to make – everybody always wants arms. Don't get me wrong. But let's – there is a little bit of depth. Let's find out what's wrong with Robert Gasser, how long he's going to be out for down in AAA. Jansen Junk is going to be key depth. You're going to see guys like J.B. Bukauskas come up this year. There is more depth than maybe appears on the surface level for the Brewers right now. I want to get to a phone call here as well. Doug in Baraboo, you listen all season long. Doug, you are live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, good afternoon, Dom and Craig. Say, this team's going to be fun to watch this year. That's for sure. Now, Dom, you mentioned Terang being at second base on base percentage, you know, being 330 might keep him there. I'm wondering about the batting average. I'm guessing maybe if he's 240 or better, and he's even just over 300 on base percentage, he's going to see a lot of time at second.
I agree entirely. And in fact, there was a lot of talk about, you know, when Pat Murphy said, I expect this kid to take a quantum leap this year during spring training, there were a few folks like, well, okay, wait a minute. This dude had like a sub 650 OPS last year, not a great fastball hitter. You know, he was overmatched at times at the plate. And for him to back up his manager like he did today, I'm sure you agree with this, Doug, is the fact that, yeah, I my manager believes in me. I believe in myself. He put on 15 pounds of good weight this offseason, and you're already seeing it come through today, turning on a fastball at 96 miles an hour from Tyler McGill. I'll believe it till there's a reason not to believe it that Bryce Terang is going to take that quantum leap.
That would be fun. He's just great defense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree, and it's a good point that you bring up, Doug, for sure, because, look, the glove, as I talked about earlier, is just something you want to see on the field as much as possible. There's no question about that. But I think it can't be understated or estimated enough of how important it is to get your first full year in the majors under your belt. And if he did one of two things, playing defense last year was probably most important for him. To show that he can succeed in any scenario defensively in a tight Major League Baseball game, and he did that. So he proved that point. He got some at-bats in, and now he's ready to make that next step. And if hopefully this is an indication that he is making that next step, because I don't think, Dom, there was anybody saying or anybody, you know, saying there's a little bit of risk here that maybe he won't be a hitter. This guy's been successful hitting his whole career at whatever level. So it's going to come here. I'm pretty confident in that. And it seems that Pat Murphy's awfully confident of that.
Well, what do you got on this text there as well about the fact that they're competitive, hard-nosed, scrappy? In my opinion, with all the flux that happened this offseason, you know, trading Corbin Burns, you're not going to have Brandon Woodruff available for you this season. You've signed Reese, you've signed Gary. There is a little bit of a whiplash effect all offseason long, but yet the Brewers are 3-0. The Pirates are 4-0. They swept the Marlins to start the year. The Cubs are ahead against the Rangers right now to try to get their first win of the year. They'll be 1-2 maybe by the end of this show. And then the Cardinals, they had the tough draw of the Dodgers, and they'll play later tonight. But I'm looking, the whole division's competitive. What more could you ask for, right? Buckle up now, because this is going to be a fun train to be on all season long.
That's why I always can't stand to hear people say, you know, the Central Division in both leagues is just not good. And the East is good and the West is good, but the Central Divisions aren't good. I'm not looking at the AL as much as I'm looking at the NL because we've covered it for so long. It's awfully competitive. And why isn't that more entertaining than watching one team race away with a division or two teams getting 110 victories and, you know, nothing else is fun to watch really all the way around? These games, these division battles are fun. I'm looking forward to, you know, the first one coming up, whenever that is. I know we're playing, obviously, the Mets. We got the sweep there and the Twins and Mariners coming in after that. But I'm all about this division right now. I think it's going to be fun. I don't know if anybody's a front runner. And to me, that makes it great. That makes it compelling. It makes you want to watch, and it makes these guys want to compete.
It's going to be very fun to watch and very fun to listen to your insight all season long.
We're three games into being 162-0. I mean, you can't lose to get there.
It's got to start somewhere. You know, every team that went 162-0 started
3-0. They did.
We
looked that up today.
That's some great stuff. Craig Kishon joining us here on this Easter Sunday. Thanks again for always joining us here and bringing the positive vibes. We'll talk to you more all season long. My friend,
right,
enjoy the off day.
You too.
Awesome. Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. More texts rolling in here as well. Some tweets, some chat on YouTube as well. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. We'll hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later. We'll also get into some highlights as well. Stay with us till the top of the hour on WTMJ.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
It's a sweep. Brewers win by a 4-1 final, 3-0. First time they have swept on the road to open the season since San Diego back in 2018. Good vibes in 2018, just saying. Back home on Tuesday, a 3-10 first pitch. And yes, Mr. Baseball will be back on the call. Bob Uecker is scheduled to rejoin the broadcast on Tuesday afternoon for the home opener. Can't wait to hear Bob and Lane on the call. Jeff will be over on television along with Bill Schroeder. And by the way, Bill Schroeder, congratulations to him entering his 30th season on television. So great, great people around these press box booths at American Family Field. Let me get to a few of these texts here. Quicker segment here as we'll go down with some numbers and look around the scores here. Do you think that if the bullpen is almost perfect, would they trade Devin? That's from Bob in Saratoga. Bob, goodness, we're three games in, man. I don't even want to start thinking about that. But look, I would hope Matt Arnold and company learned what happened with David Stearns and the Josh Hader trade in 22. If there's a Devin trade in the works, I would imagine it comes in the offseason, especially given the fact his health right now. No one's going to see him pitch until June at the earliest. So I know there's plenty of data on him, but I think everybody wants to make sure he bounces back healthy. I don't even want to entertain that thought seriously. I would be just aside myself if the Brewers trade Devin Williams while still being competitive. Now, if things change and they go on a 25-game losing streak that they pull the Detroit Pistons, we'll revisit this. But I don't foresee that happening right now. We're on track to turn to the Pistons of baseball. Is that a problem? That's what made me bring that up and laugh at that. From Bob in Saratoga, the other thought here is Yelly for MVP seems like Willie is bouncing back. Great start for Bryce. Yelly off to a great start, hitting the ball hard. Love to see that from him as well. Willie, a couple of knocks, not a big deal for him. He'll get his first homer of the year, maybe getting back to the familiar confines and seeing that brand new amazing scoreboard back at American Family Field will certainly help. Looking around the league here, in the next segment we'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. But looking around the league, bottom of the ninth out in Arlington, the Cubs are three outs away from getting their first win of the season. They're up 9-5 over the Texas Rangers. Also, the Brewers' next opponent, the Minnesota Twins, they got shellacked today by the Royals for Kansas City's first win of the season. 11-0, the Royals over the Twins. And the Twins also had tough injury news with Royce Lewis heading to the injured list, Max Kepler fouling a ball off of his foot. They've had a rough go of it here in the first week or so. Also, Carlos Correa is already dealing with some injuries. They can't catch a break there up there in Minneapolis. And we'll see what they bring to town coming up on Tuesday for a quick two-game set. Then they'll see each other again coming up after the All-Star break. As for the weekend opponent, the Seattle Mariners, they won the first two of three games against the Red Sox this weekend, and the Red Sox, though, are leading 4-1 out in Seattle right now, so that's what's upcoming here for the Brewers. They win today by a final of 3-0. 4-1. They are 3-0 on the season. The Pirates, as we mentioned a moment ago, also swept the Marlins. The Yankees swept the Astros. A blown save, or rather a loss, I should say, not a blown save, for Josh Hader in his first week as an Astro. So two teams are 4-0, the Pirates and the Yankees. The Guardians have a chance to go 4-0, but they're down 3-0 against the Oakland A's, and then the Brewers will try to go 4-0 on Tuesday. We will hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next, right here on the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Wow, crazy game out in Cincinnati. They were down to their final out. Will Benson ties the game with a two-run homer, and then eventually won it on the walk-off by Christian Encarnacion Strand. So the Reds are off to a fun start out there, and this one belongs to the Reds. They win the series over the Nats, 6-5. Somebody asked, hey, how's Jesse Winker doing over there with the Nationals? I saw he was pretty high in their lineup. Yeah, Winker's batting third for them. Hey, he went 2-for-3 today with a walk, so good for him. Anyway, let's hear about the guys that are on the team now, including the manager that's here now, Pat Murphy, after today's game.
Murph, Willie on the field said that you guys are maybe making a statement about how much you're going to compete this year and your message of just doing what you have to do to win today. What do you think you learned about this group just these first three games?
I mean, they're game to compete. You know, they're very, very young. We're very inexperienced. But they stayed on it for nine innings. You know, there's lulls in the game always, especially when you get deep into the season. And I hope they understand that if they play all nine, it doesn't always matter how much experience you have. And it doesn't always matter, you know, there's some pretty great players over there on the other side. You know, it doesn't always matter. They can go ahead and compete with anyone.
Obviously, Collins started the game, did a good job out there. I don't mean to pass over him, but Brian Hudson to be able to come in and do what he did in his Brewers debut, how key was that for you?
No doubt. Ray Hudson and Piamps were flawless today, and Collin really worked through a big situation there. I don't know what inning, the fourth maybe. And, the kid has been the unsung hero. He really has, and he threw up five great innings for us, and then Hudson went out there, and he was a rock.
Got it. Very good.
What did you think of the Churio having just the series that he had, his first series in the majors, offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I mean, Churio stepped up big time. You know, like, you didn't know what you were going to get for sure. And quite frankly, his spring training was at times very unimpressive. But I think we learned something this weekend. The lights went on, and the kid... A different kid showed up, you know, and it's like teaches us a lesson sometime to believe in a kid, that old scouts, new scouts, the numbers, everything said this kid's going to be a player, and he's got a long way to go, but for his first weekend, you got to look at it and say, yeah, he passed a lot of the tests, you know.
Murph, what about the pressure you guys were able to put on McGill? I mean, it was... You have long innings, it was the running game, it seemed like he was really rattled at times.
Well, I don't know about that. He's got great stuff, and I thought the kid threw the ball good. We came up with some clutch hits, but yes, we're going to probably, you know, pressure the other team at times. And I thought that was part of it. We didn't always cash in. We left a small village on base, but... You know, it gives us a chance then, at least, if we're ball striking it the right way and taking advantage of the pressure we can put on people, you know, we should be able to peck away and just keep pecking away and try to scratch and claw for some runs.
How impressed were you with some of the at-bats the last 2 days from William and Bryce in particular? Those two guys are really swinging it.
Yeah, Bryce is not even, you know, nearly what he's going to be offensively, but he had a great weekend because he's committed. He's a winning player, you know. And hopefully it continues. He understands it and continues to make adjustments. And yeah, I'm really, really happy with him.
How nice is it to be able to come home now? You have the day off, obviously, but 3-0 going into the home opener.
Yeah, not going to look at record, I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to prepare for Tuesday. I have my grandkids here, and now I got my and my daughter, and I got my kids coming, so I'm kind of focused on that right now. And then we'll do something tomorrow on the field, get Miley's up and down on the field. We'll do a little workout, and then optional. And then most of them, I think, will take the option. And then, you know, Tuesday, get ready to play a very good baseball team.
Tuesday, get ready. It's going to be rocking. It's going to be fun. Can't wait. Let's get to the highlights here. Let's relive the game coming up after this break. And an exciting weekend of baseball out in Queens. Stay with us, WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Looking for a sweep on Easter Sunday. You know how it is with the Brewers and Easter and holidays in general. They didn't waste much time. A two-out rally formed in the first inning. Christian Yelich reached on a catcher's interference against old friend Omar Narvaez, promptly stole second base, and Willy Adames ready to cash in.
The pitch. And Willie lines one off the glove of the third baseman, Beatty, and into left field. Yelich around third. He will score easily. It's an RBI single for Willy Adames, and the Brewers strike first. It's 1-0 Milwaukee.
Really aggressive on the base paths all day long. That theme would continue in the second inning. Another two-out rally. Bryce Durang hit a single the other way, stole second base, and then it was the wunderkind, Jackson Chourio.
Here's the 2-1 to Chourio. Hit in the air, deep right field. Marte going back onto the warning track. It is off the base of the wall. Tarang around third. He will score. It's an RBI double for Jackson Chourio, and the Brewers lead it 2-0.
Lane Grindle's calls here on WTMJ. The Mets would respond in the bottom of the second inning. Francisco Alvarez doubled, then later scored on an RBI single from Tyrone Taylor. That made it 2-1, but it would be the only run that Colin Ray would allow. He did have to deal with some traffic in the fourth, though. He got the first two outs on just four pitches in the fourth inning, but then really struggled after that. An 8-pitch walk to Francisco Alvarez, a single through the right side by Brett Beatty. Then a 12-pitch battle with Tyrone Taylor resulted in a walk, and Omar Narvaez was at the plate.
Omar waits from the left. Ray throws 2-0. Swing and a high fly ball deep into right field. Will it stay in the yard? It will. Chourio's back on the warning track with a play, and he makes the catch.
Josh Maurer's call as they strand the bases loaded. Brewers still in front 2-1. And with that gift leaving the bases loaded, they respond in the fifth inning against Johan Ramirez, who's supposed to be suspended, but he's appealing that suspension. A one-out double by William Contreras, an intentional walk to Christian Yelich, and then another walk to Willy Adames brought up one of the newest Brewers, one of the youngest big leaguers on the team, or newest big leaguers on the team, Oliver Dunn.
A one pitch. Dunn, solid single into center. One hops the glove of Tyrone Taylor. Contreras will score from third. Everybody else moves up 90 feet. It's an RBI single for Oliver Dunn. His first career RBI, and the Brewers take a 3-1 lead.
Well over 100 miles an hour off the bat there from Dunn as well. Colin Ray was done after five innings. In the sixth inning, Wild Bill was ready to break loose.
The 1-1. Line down the right field line. This is a fair ball. It'll roll all the way into the corner for William Contreras. Tarang is around third. He will score. Contreras trades places with him. He stands at second with an RBI double, and it's 4-1 Milwaukee.
That was all thanks to Tarang leading off the inning with a double as well. So 4-1 Brewers. They're in control of this one. They hand the ball to Brian Hudson, and he was fantastic. In the first inning, he had one strikeout. In the second inning, he had two more strikeouts. Then finally, in the eighth, after a double with two outs against Starling Marte, Francisco Alvarez was at the plate.
Looking for three scoreless out of him here this afternoon. 1-2. And got him looking! Slider, back door, Alvarez disagrees. Hudson, magnificent out of the pen here this afternoon.
You voted him as our player of the game today on the Twitter poll, and absolutely in his Brewers debut, four strikeouts and dazzles in three shutout innings. Yoel Piam slammed the door in the ninth. He earns the save, only his fourth big league save of his career. and make it a happy flight. Coming home on Easter, the Brewers win 4-1 and sweep the New York Mets. We'll preview the home opener on Tuesday. Everything you need to know for a 3:10 first pitch right here on WTMJ. I'm on top of the world. Hey. I'm on top of the world. Hey. All right, let's wrap things up, land the plane here as the Brewers will hand the ball in the home opener on Tuesday to Jacob Junis. The righty will go against Louis Varland, the older brother of former Rule 5 pick from last year, Gus Varland. Then on Wednesday, it'll be Joe Ross against Chris Paddock for the border battle between the Brewers and Twins. Details again, home opener Tuesday, 3:10 first pitch. I'll be the 9,000th person to remind you. You can prepay your parking now. Make it a lot easier as you make your way to your tailgate spot coming up on Tuesday. All of that is on brewers.com/tickets. You can scan the QR code when you get in line, but you can also prepay for your parking. You just show the prepay and you're gone. It's going to be a lot faster, I hope, this season for fans. The other details that you may want to know, you're going to get a magnet schedule presented by Palermo's Pizza. The anthem will take place at approximately 2:57. It'll be the Milwaukee Symphony String Quartet doing the anthem this year. Some fun ceremonial first pitches as three special Brewers Supers fans who came through fighting a few very tough diseases in their young lives partnered with Aurora Healthcare coming through to throw out the first pitch. They took a trip down to spring training, got to see them down there too, so that was really fun. Brandon, Evan, and Malachi will all be there to throw the first pitch. You will also see the lineups begin, all the announcements will begin approximately 2:46, 2:50 or so if you want to see all the pomp and circumstance of everything that goes down with that. Barrel Yard will be open as well, and you can also hear Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ, and across the Brewers radio network. There will be yearbooks available for $10 at retail spots as well. Again, there are tickets available. Very few remaining, but there still are tickets available. Brewers.com/tickets. I will be there as well. I will be over in the Bally Sports Wisconsin booth, but then hopping over to the WTMJ booth to do the post-game show with you. We'll have plenty of programming wall-to-wall to get you ready for opening day. I think almost all of our shows will be live there tailgating on Tuesday as well. Hopefully see you guys there and have some fun at the ballpark. Parking lot gates will open at 12:10, and the ballpark gates will open at 1:10. So 3 hours for parking, 2 hours for the ticket gates. Can't wait. I love opening day. It's just a special day. Should be a national holiday, if you ask me, especially for your city's home opener. And the energy will be rocking. And thank goodness for the roof, because the weather this week does not look pretty for tailgating. But, hey, what's a little cold? Throw on another layer. That's going to be no big deal. So we'll have a show after the game on Tuesday. No show on Wednesday. Off days on Monday and Thursday of this week. Can't wait to see all of your smiling faces at the ballpark on Tuesday. My thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Until Tuesday, we'll see you then, and keep on swinging.